Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, very often people say it's a $64 billion question. Well, we're going to ask the minister now in just a second the 65 billion euro question. It's the predicted surplus over the next few years. And if you have an opinion, if you have an idea, if you have something that's really annoying you about what the you're reading about the plans for that surplus, you can text us at 51551. Should it be ploughed into housing? Should it go into public sector pay? There are increases for better packages and better resourcing in the public sector. Or should it go into health? We have difficulties in health in terms of recruitment and retention and equipment and buildings and so on. Or if you have another idea, as I say, 51551, because budget surpluses of up to 65 billion euro have been forecast between now and 2026. Minister for Finance Michael McGrath has today announced plans for a new wealth fund to save the windfall tax, corporation tax, and offset future financial challenges, including our ageing population and how to care for our ageing population. Today's report sets out the options and the benefits of this new long-term fund. And Minister for Finance Michael McGrath joins us now in the programme. Minister, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you, Cormac. Good afternoon.
The first thing that could strike people here is they might say to themselves, this guy is sitting on the government 65 billion euro potentially, and he's talking about raising taxes like PRSI. Can you explain that?
Well, I suppose the first point is that we're not sitting on that amount of money. As you said earlier on, these are forecasts, and forecasts don't always prove to be accurate or come to pass. But in this case, we certainly hope that they do, because it would present a very positive picture and give us a lot of policy options as to what to do with that money. And the first point I'd make is that, you know, the decision as to what to do with the windfall receipts, so these are receipts from corporate tax that we don't expect will repeat year in, year out, is separate to the annual budgetary process. So when I sit down, and Minister Donoghue sits down with his colleagues on the expenditure side in the coming months, you know, we will be making decisions about reducing income tax, about improving social welfare, investing in public services and so on, using taxes that we expect will recur, will repeat every single year. But what we're looking at here in the proposal I've brought forward today, and which was discussed at Cabinet yesterday, is what to do with receipts that we believe are windfall in nature. And all you have to do really is look at the trend of the corporate tax receipts. I mean, a decade ago it was around 4 billion euro per annum. In 2020 it was around 12 billion. This year we think it would be double that, 24 billion.
Is that why you're saying we can't depend on this money being there every single year, or this type of money, so we can't plough it into public sector pay, for example, or give people, struggling families, a cut in terms of their tax take? That's why you're going for the wealth fund option, is that right?
In essence, yes. And what I'm saying is that if you park the windfall receipts, we are still in a reasonably strong financial position, that we will be able to make improvements by way of income tax cuts and improve welfare, invest in public services, increase capital investment in the normal budgetary process out of taxes that we reasonably can expect will repeat year in, year out.
Okay, so
but
I'm
being advised,
that
Minister, that about 12 billion euro, so in other words, half of what I'm going to collect this year in relation to corporation tax, will not repeat into the future at some point. We can't say exactly when, but the officials believe that these receipts are windfall in nature, and therefore that it falls to us then to make a policy decision. What do we do with that money? And I accept there are lots of different views and perspectives on that. But I'm looking at a scenario where the demographic train is coming at us. We are looking at very significant age-related costs in the coming years. And I'm not talking about the 2040s, 50s, 60s. I'm talking about in the coming years. Like, we know, for example, by the end of this decade, it will cost about 7 to 8 billion more per annum to provide public services than at the beginning of the decade.
So when do you start,
an ageing population.
When do you start raising taxes then? When do you start raising PRSI, for example, to prepare for that?
Well, first of all, if we make the decision to set up a long-term investment fund, it will obviate some of the need to increase taxes elsewhere, but it won't do all of the heavy lifting. It will potentially do the bulk of it. It depends how much of the surpluses that we put away, what kind of a return is earned by way of the investment strategy, and when we begin to draw down the return from the fund.
So there are lots of different variables. Have you decided how much of the surplus you will put away?
We haven't made a specific decision as to the amount. So in the next number of weeks now, I will work with colleagues across government, work with my officials to develop a detailed proposal. So the paper published today is a scoping paper. In essence, it's a discussion paper. We had a good discussion on it yesterday at Cabinet. There was broad agreement with the proposal that I'm setting out here. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we would use all of the windfall receipts for an investment fund. I also believe we do need to look at the options of reducing debt where, for example, bonds mature and they would have to be refinanced at a much more expensive rate. And that would increase the interest bill and therefore deprive you of revenue you could otherwise use to invest in services. It may make sense if you're sitting on a large cash pile to pay down that debt. And also I've indicated a willingness to look at increased investment in terms of capital investment in certain areas. And so that will be the combination and it's about agreeing the right balance.
Would you use any of it at all then to give struggling families a break? Or as I mentioned on yesterday's programme with your colleague, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill, people who may be on disability allowance or carers allowance, who may feel they got very little comparatively in the last number of budgets, they could do with an awful lot more investment to make their lives a little bit easier given inflation. That's something you could decide to do.
Yeah, I understand that. And what I'm saying is that permanent improvements in weekly rates and social welfare and so on will be funded in the annual budget process in the normal way, and we will be in a position to do that. So last year and this year, just in the last few weeks, we had a once-off payment and government will consider whether that is appropriate again later this year. So you could potentially use windfall receipts for certain one-off items, including, you know, strategic investment, purchasing assets on behalf of the state, acquiring land. So there are things that you can do on a once-off basis, but the real mistake that we just have to avoid at all costs is making permanent expenditure commitments or indeed tax reductions on the back of receipts that could evaporate over time, because that just leaves a hole in your public finances, and I'm not going to do that.
So,
and especially when I know
it
will be real costs.
Will you give us a guarantee that you won't be announcing a road here or increased improved rail network there come election time in order to buy votes? Because that's what you will be accused of, and that's history shows us come election time, the budget beforehand is a buy votes exercise.
Well, we have a large public capital programme as it is. You know, it's over 12 billion euro per annum. We set out a national development plan on a multi-annual basis, a total of 165 billion out to 2030. And to be honest, in the last couple of years, the challenge has been to spend all of that money because of capacity issues, delays in planning, and just the length of time that it takes to get major public infrastructure projects through the process. And we are introducing reforms, and we're going to deal with all of that, including reforms in planning. So there's already a large capital budget there, but I have indicated that I am willing to provide additional resources in the area of investment where we can be satisfied that the constraint is funding and the constraint is not capacity.
Does that rule housing in or out?
We've been very clear, housing is a top domestic priority, and we have not been found wanting in providing the capital resources necessary in housing, and that
will
remain the case.
Will you be putting more of the windfall receipts into housing?
Possibly, if that is needed. There's no indication at this point that it is needed. The constraint is capacity. We had underspends in the last couple of years. We made decisions, as you know, in the last few weeks to provide more funding to try and get cost rental homes provided and to increase grants for vacancy and dereliction and so on. So there is a willingness to do more in relation to investment in housing, because we recognise...
there is an indication that more is needed. And I know that you say the constraint is capacity, but funds would help in that regard, wouldn't it? I mean, you're not meeting targets in the public sector in terms of housing targets, social and affordable especially. And we are seeing more and more people on housing lists and homeless lists. Surely you need to put a sizable chunk of the windfall receipts into modular housing at the very least.
we are prepared to do more on housing, but in the last number of years, funding has not been the constraint, and that has not been the reason why some of the targets overall were not missed, though the overall target of output was achieved.
And you're saying more funding wouldn't help, is that right?
It may help. But first of all, you have to make sure that you're using all of the funding that's already committed. And then if there is a need to provide more funding to increase output, I am indicating a willingness to do that, given the level of priority that we afford to the whole housing question. And we are making progress in terms of affordable output, new cost rental, public housing now being built at scale again for the first time in a long time. But we've much, much more to do. We acknowledge that. Okay. And, you know, that would be an appropriate use for some of the windfall receipts. But substantially, we do need to put funding away into a fund to meet costs that we know are definitely coming down the line in the years ahead.
Before I move away from this part of the discussion, the wealth fund that you intend to invest in, is it about $6 billion that you intend to invest into that fund, first of all? And how much of a dividend would you expect year on year, and by when? How quickly would that start?
So the decision as to how much we put in is one that will be made in the coming weeks. So you talk about the $65 billion, which is the cumulative surpluses that are forecast out to 2026. We very much hope that they come to pass. We then need to decide what is the appropriate proportion of those projected surpluses to invest in the fund, how much of it should be made available for debt reduction, and how much can be made available for increased investment in areas such as housing. When it comes to the return, it depends on the investment strategy, it depends on your risk appetite. We will liaise closely with the NTMA, the National Treasury Management Agency. They have tremendous expertise and experience in this area, but we do set out in the paper that we published today different scenarios as to how much you might put in different scenarios and what kind of a return. We look at a 3% return, we look at a 5% return, but it is not possible to predict what the level of return will be. It depends on your investment strategy and the nature of what you invest in.
So you have an awful lot, but based on what you're saying, you have an awful lot of homework to do with your department over the next number of weeks if we're to get that type of detail in July, which is not forthcoming today. The texts are already coming in, Minister, and I knew this would happen. What about replacing the USC? Your friends in Fine Gael were promising an election or two ago to get rid of the USC. What about it? It was supposed to be temporary.
Well, the USC brings in about €5 billion a year. And if you get rid of the USC, that is €5 billion that's gone every year. And if you fund that from windfall corporate tax receipts, that's fine in year one and two and perhaps year three or four. But when those windfall receipts fall away, you have a €5 billion hole in your public finances. So that is the reality of these decisions that you have to weigh up. So I'm not going to use the windfall receipts to make permanent changes that have occurred annual cost, but I am prepared to use it in certain circumstances for one-offs, for investments in our economy, in our infrastructure, alongside putting funding away to meet the age-related costs.
Why not use some of the money right now, immediately, to help families who are really, really struggling with their mortgages, are on the brink, especially with interest rate hikes, numerous interest rate hikes over the last number of months from the ECB. Sinn Féin are saying, do it now. Help them with mortgage interest relief now. You say, wait till budget day. I mean, why?
Yeah, and Sinn Féin are also saying this week that we should increase welfare and we should increase pensions, and next week they'll say we should do something else. I'm not going to bring in a budget every week. We will have the budget in the autumn. There is a lot of preparatory work to be done. There are a lot of needs out there that we have to consider. Homeowners, for sure, who are carrying the burden of increased interest rates have a case to make. So too do renters, so too do people who are working and who are paying the USC and who are paying income tax, and so too do people who rely on public services, and of course people on fixed income. So there are lots of people who can make the case.
Are you against mortgage interest relief for families?
I think it has to be considered in the context of a budget, and you need to give very careful consideration as to who is going to benefit from it. So the proposal that Sinn Féin have made would benefit everybody who is experiencing an increase in their interest.
You've introduced yourself universal measures previously, so what's different here?
We have done, and I'm not categorically saying that we won't do it in the context of a budget. We will consider it, but it will also be considered considered alongside all of the other demands and the pressures that are there.
The problem with that answer, Minister, is that families who are really, really struggling and going to bed every night fearing they'll lose their home because they can't pay increased repayments in their mortgage, they're listening to you completely disregarding, it seems, their stress, their nightly stress.
Yeah,
you're telling them, wait until budget day.
I'm certainly not disregarding it. I meet people all the time who are carrying this burden. People email me their individual stories, and I do understand the pressure that many people are under. But let me be clear, there is no reason why anybody in Ireland should lose their home because of increased interest rates. If people are making a genuine effort to pay what they can towards their mortgage, we have codes of conduct in place, we have protocols there, we have, as we saw today through the court decision, we have an insolvency system that can be very innovative. So there is help and support for people there, and they should be engaging with their lender to get a solution put in place. And the central bank, I've met them, I've met with the banks, I've met with the non-banks, to explore and interrogate exactly what they are doing to support customers. You know, it isn't always about using taxpayers' money.
They could very much ignore what you say. They have done previously with your government, and when you ask them to be careful about passing on interest rate hikes to variable mortgage holders, they simply ignore that. And I'm going to ask you about the retail forum now. And people are struggling as well with very basic food items, given what's called now price gouging or greedflation at tills or checkouts. Now, what are you going to do? This was raised in the Dáil as well. What are you going to do with retailers who don't bring down prices and seem to be making huge profits?
Well, we don't control the prices that are charged in the shops on consumers. We have been very clear with the retail sector that where the input costs fall, those savings should be passed on to consumers and to till. And we're beginning to see some very, very early signs of that happening. Inflation in groceries remains far higher than it is across the general economy. You know, it's a little over 6% in the economy. It's perhaps 16% or so, though falling marginally in relation to essentials. And we do recognise the pressure that is putting people under, because these are unavoidable costs that you have to face every day and indeed every week. So Minister,
you're
Richmond,
just asking them, is that it? Just please reduce prices.
Well, we have a Consumer and Competition Protection Commission. They have extensive powers and they are actively monitoring the retail sector. And they are advising government as to any steps that we need to take to make sure that there's proper competition in the market and to ensure that consumers are being treated fairly. I know there has been...
Well, the retailers internationally say they don't divulge Irish profits because they do so well here because of the lack of competition. And really, there are calls in the Dáil to introduce price gaps on basic food items so people can go and make ends meet, basically. But you seem to be suggesting that you're going to ask the retailers who are making huge profits to pass on savings. It's almost like you're saying, I'll write a strongly worded letter to the Irish Times.
No, what I'm saying is that we have a well-resourced public body that we have enshrined in legislation with very significant powers to deal with the issue of competition in the marketplace. And it is easy to put forward the suggestion of price caps, but you have to think about the consequences of that. If you fix the price at one point in the supply chain, at the retail point, then what about at the other points in the supply chain? You could end up with different suppliers going out of business. What about the impact on the primary producer?
And what about families going out of business who can't make ends meet?
And what about the products then that are not the subject of a price cap? Will the retailers just push up the prices for those particular line items to make up the cost?
Give people a chance on basic food items. That's all they're asking.
Well, it's not that straightforward, because it could potentially result in the primary producer being squeezed if you are placing a legal cap on the price that can be charged on the consumer, or another party in the supply chain could end up going out of business. So it's not that straightforward. The power is there.
I understand. And people can let us know what they think to 51551. Final question before I let you go. Your party leader has been calling for all senior inter-county matches in the GAA to be shown free to where. Do you share that view in terms of this controversy over GAA Go? Should they all be free, or is there a place for pay-per-view?
And of course, we'd like them to be free. I mean, I had the privilege of attending the Cork Tip match last weekend, and it's just a shame that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who might have watched that if it was free to air were denied the opportunity to do so. I recognise the commercial realities, and the GAA and RT have entered into this arrangement. I think they do need to listen to the public debate. They've been invited now to the Oireachtas Committee. I believe they should attend and answer the questions and be as open and accountable as they possibly can. And I think the goal here should be to make as many games as possible free to air. We have a condensed GAA season. It does make it very difficult for every match to be broadcast on terrestrial television. But the app is there. Can they possibly take down the paywall for many, if not all, of the matches? I think these are the kind of things they need to look at. Okay. I think the goal should be as many of them as possible should be free and let people enjoy our national games.
They might be looking for a windfall of sorts from government. We'll say Minister Michael McGrath, Minister for Finance. Thank you very much indeed.